Revelation chapter number 22 this morning. The book of the Revelation chapter 22. If you can and are able, we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God found in the book of the Revelation chapter number 22. I'd like to start reading in verse number 12 of Revelation 22. In verse number 12, Jesus has something to say. And he starts out in this passage and he highlights the phrase and he simply says this, "And behold," or "I want this to get your attention. I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God this morning. Father, we bless you. We thank you for our time together that you've allotted us on this Lord's Day. I thank you for the old songs of Zion that has been sung. And now I pray, Lord, that you'd let preaching be easy a few minutes this morning. If there'd be one here lost and undone without Jesus, I pray this would be the day that they would receive the only begotten Son of God in their heart and in their life. Thank you for being good to our church. And God, I want to pray for our nation this morning. I want to pray for our president and vice president that God should protect them and lead them. I pray, God, for the flock of Liberty Baptist Church, many hurting, many sick. I pray that you would do only what you, our great God, can do. Lord, I want to thank you for blessing me. I want to thank you one day that you saved me. I want to thank you one day that you called me to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm so inadequate in the flesh. I'm a needy preacher. And I pray that you'd use me this morning to be a blessing to the people of God. Help us now and we'll be grateful to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'd like to preach on this simple Bible subject today, out of Revelation 22, on this thought. I've read the back of the book. I've read the back of the book. Now, Abraham had something to say. Abraham, the father of our faith, he said that we are simply pilgrims and strangers and sojourners in this life. But he looked for a city where the builder and the maker was God. Abraham was looking for a city that had something beside USA stamped upon it. Abraham realized that he was a stranger in this world. My goodness, you look around today and you must realize if you're living for God and trying to live in the precepts of the Word of God, you are a stranger in a strange old world. This morning, I've read the back of the book. I want to say, first of all, I want you to notice the place that we will settle. The place that we will settle is found in chapter 22 and verse 1. He said, "He showed me a pure river, water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." The place I'll settle. I want to say, first of all, it is a prepared place. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I'm glad it is a settled place this morning. You see, the place that will settle, it's a prepared place. In verse 1, it is a pure place. He said, "He showed me a pure river of water of life." You know, we've seen a lot of rivers running out of the mountains. There's not any, much to me, any greater pictures to see a brook or a river running down a mountainside up in the mountains. But friend, I'm going to tell you, the city that we're going to, there is a pure river running on the inside. It is a prepared place. It is a pure place. In verse 2, notice it is a productive place. He said, "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, and it bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of were on the tree for the healing of the nations." You see, in this city, not only is it a pure place, it is a productive place. Things are going on in that city this morning. When we die and go to heaven and meet God and we're put in this glorious city, we're not going to sit there as just robots sitting around, friend. It's a productive city. We're going to have a great life. Many of us, we have a great life here if we know Christ, but there's a better day coming for the child of God. It is a productive place. Verse 3, it's a peaceful place, and there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. A peaceful place. We're going to the land of no mores. In Revelation 22 and 3, can you imagine this? We're going to a place where there is no more sin. No more sin. You know, I don't care how close a man, woman, boy, or girl tries to get to God. There's always an issue. There's always a problem with this flesh. Because we have that sin nature. You don't have to teach your children to do wrong. It comes to them by nature. They didn't have to teach me to do wrong. I had to be taught what to do right and what was right and wrong. But honey, we're going to the city where there's no more curse, no more sin. Can you imagine living? And there's sometimes when I get caught up preaching, "Brother David, Brother Mike, I feel so close to the Lord. I've got everything handled before I get in that pulpit, or I try to. There's times I feel so close to the Lord." But can you imagine one glorious day we'll feel like that while eternity rolls on? No more bad thoughts, no more bad gestures. My goodness, this old flesh in me. Somebody can pull in front of me and cut me off going to church. I want to roll my window down, shake my fist. And on the back of my car says, "Follow me down to Liberty Baptist Church." I'm telling you this morning, we all have that old sin nature. You know, it gets in the way, don't it, church? There's so much doubt and so much fear and dread that comes in our hearts and our lives. But let me tell you, the place that we will settle. I'm glad that I've read the back of the book. We're going to a place of no mores, where there is no more sin. And then, Revelation 21 and 1, there be no more storms. The Bible said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, no more storms." I can remember as a young kid, was raised way out in the country, and there was a storm came up when my mother was a child, and it blew all the windows out of the houses in that part of the country. She was terrified of storms. I tell you how terrified she was of a storm. I'd be just a little old kid like Sophie or Parker's age, and I'd be in the bed fast asleep. Brother Adam, we had them old spring cold baths in the country, something you young folks don't know about, amen. My goodness, my mom would raise the covers back and say, "Honey, get on the bed. It's going to blow us away. This storm is so bad." She'd put me under that bed, and oh, I had a mama climbing under there by me. And when the storm was over, she'd say, "Baby, you can come out now. Honey, let me tell you, I'm going to a city where there's no more sin and no more storms. Thank God we'll never have to batten down the hatches again, for Jesus is running that city this morning." You see, we're going to the land where there is no more sin. Oh, it'd be a great day when I drop this old flesh and get a glorified body. It'd be so wonderful, Sister Peggy, to go to heaven where my mind is right. You say, Preacher, I can't listen to you. Your mind ain't right. Somebody say amen. If you preach as many sermons as I have and answer as many phone calls as I had, you may be shook up a little too. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm glad I'm headed to the city. Oh, I'm glad I'm going. I'm going. Are you going this morning? You see, there'll be no more sin, no more sea. Revelation 21 and 4, no more sadness. I want to remind you of something. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Gee, why has He wiped away tears here? Because you and I, we're going to go through the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe with all of my heart, I'm going to shed more tears in that judgment seat than any place I've ever shed tears. The things that I could have done for the Lord. The opportunities that I had that I didn't take advantage of with my family, my children, my grandchildren, my church family, my life. I will remind you, we that are saved by the grace of God will not sit around the white throne judgment bar of God. That's where lost folk will sit. But we will all stand before the bema seat of Christ. Now I want to show you that this morning briefly in passing. The Bible teaches us in First Corinthians. I want to show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Talking about these tears will be wiped away. Why will they be tears there, preacher? Because we that are saved by the grace of God, we're going to stand and give an account individually of our works. Daddies, listen to this old country preacher today. You're going to give an account of how you raised your family. You're the leader. Mamas, you're going to give an account of how you've raised your children. Christians, we're going to give an account of how faithful we've been to our church and our community. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 11, Paul's writing. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I must hurry. A lot of people say there's many roads that lead to heaven. We even have a man now running an office wanting to bring the Muslim faith back into our educational institutions. Are you kidding me? There's one way to heaven. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no room for nothing else. All roads don't lead to heaven. You get to heaven by God's Son through the shed blood at Calvary's cross. So he says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He said, if you don't have Jesus, you're not laying any kind of foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, watch your Bible. For every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. But if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, here's some tears. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let me tell you, any place in heaven's a great place. But let me tell you something, according to our works, this Bible tells us that we will receive a reward. The Bible teaches us that we can receive the crowns, but don't worry, we're not taking them in. Nobody's going to have a halo on their head in heaven. Before we go in the gates of that glorious city, we're going to cast them at Jesus' feet and say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I could have never done nothing without you. You better look around this morning. It's not your work ethics. Amen. It's not what you've got that's so professional today. It's what the grace of God has allowed you to have and entrusted you with, and use it all for the honor and the glory of Him. If I preach these sermons for the glory of men to get my name on marquees, those works will be burned. But I can tell you, little ladies that are doing things behind the scene, You men that are doing things that nobody knows nothing about. We've got a member. He can't even come, yet he's not comfortable in a congregation. And I understand that because of health issues. But you can set your clock. He'll be out here on the weekend. He's picking up trash and garbage off of God's property. What are you saying? Honey, nobody's got a billboard for him, but God's writing it all down. And there's coming a day that God is going to see what we was about, and he's going to judge us by what is right. Don't forget about the judgment. And so there will be no more sorrow. I want to try my best to serve the Lord. Church, if I could tell you anything in these last days, perilous times will come. And church, you better buckle up your seatbelt. We've seen nothing yet. I preach up in the mountains of North Carolina. I've got friends that text me this morning. They said, you know what happened in the Carolinas this morning? A 5.1 on the scale earthquake hit our country this morning. What are you saying? The Bible said in the last days, perilous times shall come. We've seen nothing yet. Why, goodness, you come to the house of God, somebody will offend you. You put your little feelings on your shoulder and go home. That's what the devil wants you to do, is to go home. You better get some glue in your britches and some grit in your crawl and realize persecution is coming against the church. But we're the blood watch band. Thank God I've got them headed to the city this morning. Praise God. I'm glad I ain't got a gown on backwards and a collar strapped up to my ears this morning. I can't tell you there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I talked to a man last week. He said, did you know in our church that they tell us we can't even mention hell? Well, I'd get out of it then. I'd get out of it. Church, we better realize persecution is going to come. We better get rid of this little snowflake attitude that's taking our society. Everybody is offended. Well, guess what, sir? Guess what, ma'am? This Bible offends me. If the Word of God, like the old saying, when you rub the cat, the hair stands up, change directions of the cat. Somebody say amen. Oh, I'm going to the city where there's no more sorrow, no more sadness. Revelation 21, verse number 4. Revelation 21 and verse number 4. Here, the Bible tells us, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. I'm glad we're going where the hurts will be no more. Many of us, we've seen our loved ones depart. Many of us has got older, life has changed. But I want to tell you, I've read the back of the book and the place I'm going to settle. There is no more sadness, no more sorrow. When God wipes our tears away, it's going to be heaven that only heaven can be. I've read the back of the book. The place I'll settle. I'm going to live there forever. Any of y'all notice how your taxes has went up to live in the county? What if we don't pay our taxes? You know what happens? Most folk get evicted. Unless you're in the hobnob crowd. Most folk get evicted. But Brother Mike, I'm going to the city. I never have another tax bill. Nobody can take me out of my spot in glory. No tax collectors in that city. You say, why? Because the wages has been paid. Jesus paid it all at Calvary. The place I'll settle. Number two, the people I'll see. I'll hurriedly go through these. Look at Revelation 22, verse 3. Not only the place that I'll settle, but look at the people I'll see. Revelation 22, verse 3. And there shall be no more curse for the throne of God of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servant shall serve Him. People I'll see. I've got some people I want to see in heaven. But let me tell you, you'll never be confused about who Jesus is or where Jesus is. For He still has the marks from Calvary upon Him. But I can hardly wait to fellowship. You know, Brother Dwayne was teaching the other night on Facebook. He said a statement that got my attention. He said, we've used this terminology wrong. We've said social distance. We ought to use it as physical distance. We need socializing in our lives. You see, you can practice physical distance, but you don't have to be in social distance. Some folks is totally disconnected from the church, and the FBI can't even find them. Some are physically distanced, but they're still connected socially. They still watch by Facebook. They still call. They still text. But I'm going to tell you this morning, can you imagine when we get to the city, the people we're going to get to see and enjoy? I love people. I love them old saints of God. I can hardly wait to sit down with some of them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi, Daniel. I want to walk up to Daniel and say, Daniel, I want to know something. That morning, that them lions, when they throwed you, what did they do, Daniel? I bet he'd probably say, preacher, for a minute I was pretty tore up. What are you saying this morning? The people that were going. I love sitting down with old timers on the porch. I miss all of these old folks that's going to heaven. Some of you young people, when older people say something, you need to hush your mouth and listen. They'll save you some heartaches in life. We done wore a few t-shirts up in here. I was at a camp meeting, Brother Randall. My outline flew out on the floor. Young preacher grabbed it and he said, I'm going to preach this outline, Brother Ken. I said, no, put that up. You don't want to pay for that outline. Because you see, God gives me sermons of where I live. When a man did something to me that turn your toenails up, and then God give you a sermon through it, that young man didn't want to pay for that sermon. But you see, but then when we get that, can you imagine sitting with Elijah and Elisha? I'm a Bible man. I like these Bible characters. I wish I could preach every message I got on a Bible character. Them people just thrill my heart. And the reason, because I can relate to how many of them were living, and the oppositions, and the temptations, and the turmoil, and the dangers, and the doubts that they all experienced. But God put every one of them in there for this, to help you. And to help me. And you'll notice in every story, Jesus gets all the honor and the glory out of it. I don't want to preach too long this morning, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I love preaching. Jesus is the greatest friend I've ever had. I've read the back of the book. The place I'll settle, the people I'll see. Verse 4, the person I'll serve, watch this, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. What? I read after one commentator, and he said that high priest would have upon his garment holiness unto the Lord. I'm glad His name's on me this morning. You say, preacher, why is His name on us in heaven? Because He bought us. He bought us. He owns us. And there's nobody like Him to work for and to live for. Somebody said, Brother Ken, all them years you was at Pepsi-Cola, don't you miss all that? I said, no, I'm working for the greatest boss I've ever had. He understands me like nobody else ever has. What are you saying, preacher? I've read the back of the book. The place I'll settle, the people I'll see, the person I'll serve. Verse 12, the prize I'll share. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Hang on, Christian. Just stay faithful. Jesus is coming, and He's bringing something with Him. And you know who's going to amaze us? Who's going to be in front of the line? The people we never knew about. You know, Jesus said, if you give somebody a cup of cold water, you do that in His name, it's just like you're giving it to Him. I was called upon last week where I had must humble myself to wait on somebody. And it's sad when people grow old and they have no family that will see about them and love them. That's why I'm trying my best to be good to Megan and Macy. Somebody say amen. Brother Mike, I told Renee, I was riding up on the golf cart last night. I got a lot of grass to cut, 15, 20 acres each week. I told her, I said, honey, when we get old, we may just sell this place and buy us a little lake lot down at Lake Wheat Dallas. She said, are you crazy? She said, I'm staying by my children when I get old. They're going to see about me. Somebody say amen. But I said this, y'all. Little woman, 88 years old, had to humble myself down. Nobody knows what other people do for other people. But God's writing it down. Brother Adam, you remember that Labor Day weekend? You and Brother Jason went with me to Woodbury and moved that little woman out of that place. Everybody else on the lake enjoying family, but you two men said, preacher, I'm going to help you. You know something? Nobody knows about that. Brother Randall, Brother Jason, Brother Adam, you men that stay around and turn everything off. You women that clean, you men that pick up, you that pray for your pastor that nobody else knows anything about, you that give and nobody else knows what your giving is. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming and He's bringing a reward with Him. The person I'll serve, it's going to be wonderful. Can you imagine when we see Him face to face? 1 Corinthians 3. Can you imagine when we see Him face to face? The one that hung and died for your sins and my sins. The reason we can enjoy this type of environment, it all goes to Calvary. What God done for us by His Son. Lastly, I've read the back of the book. The place I'll settle. The people I'll see. The person I'll serve. The prize I'll share. But I want you to look in verse 16, 17. I'm done preaching the promise that I'm going to shout. The promise I'm going to shout. Now, I want to say something to you as a preacher this morning. Miss Sharon, won't you come? And I want you to see this. The promise I'm going to shout. Lost person, Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Preacher, who's that? Well, see, the Bible says that the Spirit of God must convict you of your sin. The Spirit of Christ must deal with the sinner. He does that by the written Word of God. Then the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Who's the Bride? Oh, that's the church, isn't it, Brother Tim? You're a church man. We're the Bride of Christ. He's the Bridegroom. He's looking for a church that is unspotted and living holy and acceptable in His sight. This is so true. The Spirit and the Bride, look what they do. They say, come. Come. Preacher, what does that really mean? It really means when the Spirit deals with your heart, the Spirit's wanting you to come and the church is wanting you to come. But you got responsibility. You must respond by faith. And you must come and come to Christ. And watch this. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And I love this. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The promise that I'm going to shout. What you say? I'm going to say, come all. Come everybody, come. But you must all come by the way of the cross. You may be here this morning, that word whosoever, you're in that word. You make up that sentence, whosoever. I had no idea how rich and how wonderful that was. Young lady, are you saved? Young man, you've been thinking about it a while. You've been in our services. You've seen Christians live in front of you. And you've been wondering, Lord, how would it be if I got saved? You say, well, preacher, I'd have to drop all my friends. That may be so, but you'd find new friends. Friends you can count on. Spirit of the bride say, come. Me and Brother Mike was together this week.